This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
My mayor's Muslim. My bagel's Jewish. My Christian Dior. Originally they said Nixon 4. They changed it to even the Pope is on our side. Nixon 5.
Nixon 5.
And we got it done. I also heard another version. Our president's barely alive.
Oh.
Nixon 5. I don't know which one you want to go with. But what I will say is that the Knicks did it. The Knicks did it so well, in fact, we actually couldn't even record last week. There was just pandemonium. I mean, there was personal stuff going on, but like...
Yes.
Your boy was focused. I was all in. What about you, Dre? Were you caught up in the basketball hype?
It was a beautiful thing. Even with personal stuff going on, it was a beautiful thing to experience. The ups and the downs.
Yeah. Personally, I know you are nursing your daughter back to health. I know she went through a major. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about that, Dre. Okay. If you're okay talking about it, I don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Okay,
it's,
all right, let me say it again.
Yeah.
So personally, I know you were going through like a major trial because your daughter went through surgery. Like she had a great first season in college. She tied her personal best.
Got close.
Yeah, got close. She did 40 feet, right? That's like a major, major
inches.
Landmark.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she had to go out and have surgery and you've been nursing her. So that's a lot for you.
It's a lot for real. Yeah. It's just, you know, certain parts of the body are just, well, any part of the body, but, you know, she needs help doing everything. So,
yeah.
But we watch them games.
Yeah. Does it feel good to feel useful as a parent again in that way? What I mean by that is like my daughter said to me one day, she was like, Dad, you know, there was a day you put me down and you never picked me back up. And I'm like, so true. And like, you know, when your kids are little, they really need you for their day-to-day physical needs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it doesn't feel good to be needed in that way for you?
No, that's not how I would describe it. I mean, I'm grateful that I'm available and able-bodied to be there for her, but she struggled with not being able to do things for herself. She doesn't want to need anybody to help her. So it's been, you know, for anyone who's asked, I'm like, it's peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
It's been tough. And, you know, the initial couple of days after, there's a lot of pain. So you can't even, you don't even know if you're being helpful or not. So it's all good. But I'm fine.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm praying for a full recovery.
Yes.
And let's talk about these Knicks some more.
Let's talk about it.
I know you're a transplant to this area, but were you caught up in the Knicks hype a little bit? Were you...
Totally.
I know you said you watched the games. Were you like dialed in?
I was dialed in. I will tell you, I did not watch game 4. I couldn't.
Ooh.
Because it was just, it was too much. At a certain point, I just couldn't watch what I thought was going to unfold. And even though a little tiny part of me said, you know, they can come back. They've been here before. I couldn't watch it happen. So instead, I watched the NCAA Track and Field Championships because
more relevant.
Those were airing. Yeah, more relevant. But then, you know, fourth quarter, mid fourth quarter, and the game's back on, but I'm still not watching it. It's in the room, but I'm not physically watching it because I just couldn't.
I just couldn't. I will tell you, I cried multiple times during game four. The first time was in the third quarter because I was so hopeful that we would make a comeback. And instead, the lead just got bigger and bigger and they were down 29 points. And at that point, I'm saying to myself this, if we lose this game, it's now 2-2. It's now
starting over. It's a three-game series.
Like, it's basically 0-0.
Yep.
Like it's an even chance for either team. Yep. And I'm like, you know what? I'm so stupid. I was so good with my low expectations. Like, I didn't walk into this season expecting to win a championship. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I got caught up in the hype and I believed. And I was like, yo, why did you believe? You should know better. You're a Jets fan. You're a Mets fan. You're a Knicks fan. They always know how to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
All the teams. Yeah. Jets, Mets, Knicks.
Yeah. I used to be Jets, Mets, Nets. Now I'm Jets, Mets, Knicks. And so my first tier was like disappointment. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that they not disappointed in the team, but disappointed in myself. Like, I allowed myself to believe that they could do this. And then the final, like when we won that game, it was such a nail biter. OG Anunoby had that crazy tip-in.
I cried again. I heard it, but I didn't see it. And I was again. Like, oh my gosh, they're about to win it all. Just in that matter of minutes.
Yeah. And I just saw the tears of so many fellow fans. Like, I saw Tracy Morgan was crying. So many guys were crying. And like, what folks don't really know, you know, like, I think for like sports are kind of like for bragging rights for a lot of people. But when your team hasn't won in 53 years, like for a lot of people, that's our entire lives. Like for me, never in my entire life, like it's tough. And there's been so many times like the Knicks got close in the 90s twice, 94, 99. And each time, you know, it didn't matter how close they got, they lost. Like, it's very emotional. It's very emotional. And so today, we're not like trying to be ESPN or, you know, trying to be sportscasters. We are still podcast hosts and we have a show.
Wanted to do that once upon a time. Let me live.
I wouldn't mind doing that. I think you'd be great at it, by the way. But today we're going to talk about like some of the life and financial and business lessons that can be learned from the New York Knicks this past season. So let's start with stats as we always do. The first stat I'll give you is 53 years. That's how long it took to get to this point. And the Knicks have won championships in the past. So they won in 1970, led by Willis Reed and Walt Clyde Frazier. This is the Lakers team that they beat. It was a 7-game series. And that Lakers team had none other than Wilt Chamberlain. Like, that was a really, really loaded Lakers team. Like, this is before the Showtime Laker era. The Lakers were dominant back then, and they won in 1970. They won again in 1973. The coach back then was Red Holtzman. And then from 1973 on, there was nothing. And this past year, not only did the Knicks win the championship, they also won the Larry O'Brien Trophy, which is also known as the NBA Cup. They're the first and only team to win both in a season. And I will say, the Cup's
That's
only been around.
Thing. Yeah.
It's only been around since 2023, but still, we did that. That's the first stat. The second stat is the 33rd pick. Like, Jalen Brunson, the MVP of these finals, was not picked until number 33. That's the second round. That's like deep into the second round.
Yeah.
Like, guys that got picked ahead of him, okay, you could say, all right, I could see why they would draft Luka Doncic. I could see why they drafted Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Those are two MVP type players, but like, guys that got, like, this is the one that kills me, the New York Knicks.
It wasn't deep in the second round. He was the third pick in the second round, but still, second round. Yes. Yeah.
The thing that kills me though is like the Knicks, like, they actually had the ninth draft pick. They used it on a guy named Kevin Knox, and Kevin Knox, like, he's in the G League right now.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin Knox played, I guess he played, and God bless him, like he was good for,
yeah, we're
you
not
know,
here to knock anybody.
I don't want to bash him. I'm not, yeah. It's not the bash. I'm just saying, like, we could have gladly, like, drafted Jalen Brunson, but like, we weren't set up for that at that time, right? Like, it was, what's also interesting, there were so many players from that exact team in this draft. Mm-hmm. Mikal Bridges, who, yeah. Mikal Bridges was like, he was a role player in these playoffs. Like, he was okay. I'm not trying to diss Mikal, but like, he got drafted ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We had Dante DiVincenzo drafted ahead of him. He was on the Knicks recently. Yeah, fellow Wildcat from Villanova. He's out in, is it Minnesota right now? Like, he's got a handful of teammates drafted ahead of him. Even like Landry Shamet, who came off the bench, you know, mm-hmm. was very, very clutch for the Knicks, like drafted mm-hmm. ahead of him. So number 33 was Jalen Brunson, undersized. He was told all over television that he was too small to do it. And yep. he's now the MVP. So stat four.
I love a good underdog story.
Yeah.
You know me. I love being underestimated. I hate it and I love it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other stats. The record-breaking point differential that the Knicks outscored their opponents by, on average in the playoffs, they won the games by 14.9 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost 15 points.
Yeah.
The previous record was the 2017 Golden State Warriors. That was Steph Curry's breakout season. Like, they were dominant. Not only that, they had 12 wins by more than 10 points
mm-hmm.
and 5 blowout victories by more than 29 points. This whole playoffs, they lost 2 games against the Hawks early. And
yeah.
You know what's so funny? People recently this week, they posted James Dolan's, like his speech he gave to the team before the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Dolan has been, like, frankly been a not great owner. And the speech wasn't great. And I was like, oh, I understand now why they lost those games. Like, I think the more Dolan got out of the way, the better this team played. And we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. His hire, his that key hire in, is it Rose?
Yeah, Larry Leon Rose. Rose.
Yeah, Leon
Rose.
Rose,
who brought Worldwide West, William Wesley.
Yeah.
Big, big part. Road wins. They had 9 consecutive wins on the road. That's an NBA season record. And then finally, their efficiency. They're the only team in NBA history to average more than 120 points per 100 possessions while allowing fewer than 105 points per 100 possessions. Like, it's basically saying, like, they were elite on offense and elite on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson, we talked about him already. Not only was he the MVP, my man scored 539 points in these playoffs.
That's
making
crazy.
Him, the playoff scoring leader this year.
Yeah.
What else? He scored 45 points in game 5. Like, he really took the team on his back.
Listen, we wrapping this up. None of this, let's finish in the garden. No, let's just get it.
Yeah. Then we got OG Anunoby. OG, like, he won game 4. I won't say single-handedly, but, like, he was so efficient. Like, that
hand of God.
He scored 33 points that game. He shot 67% from the field. He hit 78% of his three-pointers. He went 7 for 9. Like, and then he had the winning tip-in. Like this guy was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. So look, we can sit here and break down the stats and all that all day, and I would love to do that, but like, the goal today is for us to really get into the things that you can learn from the Knicks season. So why don't we do this? Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll get into some of these lessons.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Momentum.
All right, we are back. So the first lesson, and I kind of hit on this a little bit, it's the pivot of ownership. So let's talk about Dolan, right? So Dolan like became initially a part owner of the Knicks. Eventually he became the full-on owner, really took over control of the Knicks and Madison Square Garden in 1999. And I hate to say it, like, and I don't think I'm controversial, but it was literally a masterclass in how not to run an organization. Like, he got overly involved. He, you know, brought in experts and then fired them. He brought in like really great people and then got in their way. He was very hands-on. He made some horrible trades. He brought in a bunch of players who, like, if it was a video game, it would have been great. But like, these guys were way past their prime. And like, he literally turned a team that was like a legitimate team into a laughingstock in that league. And eventually he made a pivot, right? Like, the pivot was to bring in Leon Rose, who brought in William Wesley. And then he got out the way and he said, look, I'm going to let the leaders lead. And
that's what I've been doing ain't working.
Yeah, like, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to have the, I'm gonna say, like, the humility, I don't have a better word for that.
Yeah,
but like, to say that, like, I need help, that what I'm doing is not working. Mm-hmm. Like, that is something that a lot of us can learn from,
which is like, it's hard to do. There has to be some humility,
yeah,
in order to do it. I don't know that there's any more to add to that.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, what are some pivot times? Like, there's times when, I mean, Dre, you pivoted your career. You pivoted from doing something that wasn't fulfilling to you to a career in financial advising that's much better for you. And while some would look at it from the outside and say, oh, it's working because you're, you know, well-paid and got a good title, but it wasn't working for you internally. And, like, when you made that pivot, you took some steps backwards, but it got you where you needed to be.
I call it taking a step back to move forward. Sometimes you got to take a step back in order to move forward. And it may seem like you're losing something, but if you think about the other side of that, taking a step back and moving forward, most of the time you come out far better than you ever would have been if you didn't take the step back at all.
Yeah.
And you don't know that going in.
Yeah.
That's where the courage and humility come in.
Yeah.
She started to do it.
There's another lesson in this pivot. It's this idea of the sunk cost fallacy. Mm-hmm. So in business school, we learned about this. This is when, let's say I've already invested, and this is like a lesson for investors. Let's say I invested, I don't know, $10,000 into a stock and it ain't going well. So I like, whether it's a stock, whether it's a business, but even if it's your time, let's say it's a relationship. Like, I invested 10 years into this relationship. Like, the thing about certain investments, and a stock's probably a bad analogy. I think it's more like if I invested into a business or I invested time into, you know, a friendship.
A person.
Yeah, the sunk cost fallacy is this idea that, like, you have this feeling like you can regain that time. Like, you can get that time back or you can get that money back. But in reality, it's a sunk cost. Like, your decision on whether to continue on should be based on the facts of where you are today and what changes you can make right now, not just tying you to the decision that you made yesterday. What I mean by that is, like, let's say you're in a business. Like, I've been in a couple different businesses that just didn't work out. A couple gyms. I had one dry cleaner that didn't work out. And, like, when you have to make that decision of, do I add more money to this investment? I have to also ask myself, would I get a better return by just picking some other investment? Like I could just put the money in the stock market. Like the sunk cost fallacy is this idea that we think we can get the money back. We think we can get the time back, but in a lot of cases, the money is spent, the time is spent, and you can't get, you're just throwing good money after bad. And you got to know when it's time to throw in the towel. You got to know when it's time to pivot. You got to know when it's time to literally fire yourself from the things you're not qualified to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like think about, I'll go back to you, Dre, as a financial advisor. When sometimes there's people that have hired you or hired me or hired us that they may know a little bit about finance, but like they're too busy to deal with some of these things. Yep. Or they're not disciplined or they're disorganized, right? Like hiring a financial advisor is one of those moments where you're saying to yourself, I need help.
Right. And it's not to say that you're needing help means you're not capable, but sometimes you just don't want to do it or you want to spend your time doing something else.
Yep. Next lesson is really just about relationships. So Leon Rose and William Wesley. And by the way, like what I love about this season, like unless you're really, really into basketball, you didn't really know Leon Rose was in the mix. Like Leon Rose didn't hold a single press conference all season. Like
I didn't know who he was until the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I follow sports.
So another one of those things, sometimes you gotta like hustle in obscurity a little bit. And Leon Rose is very well known. He was a power agent. He used to be LeBron's agent. People in basketball know who Leon Rose is, but like not a lot of people knew that he was reimagining the Knicks.
Right.
He was kind of out there hustling. He wasn't, on the gram. He wasn't, flexing. He wasn't doing it in a showy type way, but he quietly built this team over into a champion. So sometimes you gotta, stay low and keep firing. Sometimes you gotta, hustle in obscurity until you get that victory that you're going for.
What stands out to me, and I'll just say it, it's in our notes, they understood human capital.
Yes.
And when you understand people, that is, it feels like the return on investment is infinite.
Yeah.
When you understand people and you invest in people that you believe in, of course they have to have some experience and competencies and all that good stuff. But when you understand the value of human capital, the possibilities are almost endless.
And I'll take it a step further. When you invest in relationships, like the thing that Rose and Wesley were the best at was building relationships. Like understanding the value of people, understanding, like being able to, scout talent, but then build a relationship with them. Like Rose and Wesley, like they're South Jersey guys. Like they met like 100 years ago playing basketball, pickup basketball, and they stayed friends. Back in those days, William Wesley was a shoe salesman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like he happened to grow up in a town where there's some good players like Milt Wagner. Yeah, Milt Wagner, whose son was DeJuan Wagner, who ended up being, a top draft pick. But like he built a relationship with these South Jersey guys and they stayed friends. They stayed professional contacts for years and years. And as Leon Rose got, more established, like it was Wesley that brought him in to meet with LeBron James and he was able to rep LeBron James. And, he built a relationship with Rick Brunson in South Jersey. Yeah. That's where Rick Brunson was living. And that gave him a chance to get insight. That relationship gave insight into Jalen and how good Jalen was. Because Jalen was like a killer as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And like having those relationships mattered.
For sure.
Other things. So going back to that pivot, they made a really difficult decision, the Knicks, to fire Tom Thibodeau and bring in Mike Brown.
I'm sorry. My laughter, I'm not laughing at you, but I kind of am. So being from Louisiana, which has a lot of Cajun and French influence.
Yeah.
Like, it's just Thibodeau.
It is Thibodeau. I said Thibodeau.
I know, but even when I hear analysts say Thibodeau, I'm like, no. Yeah, who's going to tell them?
My bad.
I'm sorry. You can take that out.
Will you forgive me?
You're forgiven, okay. For sure. How would you know?
Leave it in. It's okay.
How would you know?
I remember feeling like, yo, Thibodeau was the guy that, like, you know, brought this team. Like, last year's team, in my opinion, outperformed by making it to the Eastern Conference Championship.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't win. I was like, yo, I would, you know, dance with who brung me. I would stick with that guy.
Right. Like, it seems, you know,
Yeah, but
we were all questioning the firing.
Yeah.
But the local reporting were that he didn't allow them enough rest, so he didn't use his bench effectively, then they ran out of gas.
Yeah.
But I had heard that about him, his coaching style, from coaching other teams as well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, the lesson in that decision is, like, sometimes you might make a move in your life that seems controversial,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately it's the results that are going to matter. Like, mm-hmm. I think about, like, for me, like, I there were a couple times in my life when my dad looked at me like I was crazy. Like, I quit Merrill Lynch to go back to business school, and I went to business school full time. He's like, and this is right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, the economy was still shaky. And Pops is like, yo, are you sure you know what you're doing? Mm-hmm. And, like, looking back, like, it was, you know, to me, it was a no-brainer at the time. But, like, history proved that, like, you know, it was probably one of the best times I could have gone back to business school. And then years later, after the financial crisis, I quit Wall Street, quit Goldman Sachs, and ultimately started Momentum. And, like, the stock market, I didn't know it at the time, but the stock market from 2010 through today, or really through 2020, it basically went straight up for 10 years. Like, mm-hmm. there would have never been a better time in the history of America for a young Black man to start an investment business than a time when the market was going to go up 10 years. And, like, you don't know that. So, like, firing Tibbs, like, you make the call that you think is the right call. And then it's the results that you're going to live by.
It makes me think about what you said earlier in terms of moving quietly and strategically. Sometimes when you're doing stuff, it's not going to make sense to most people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it doesn't have to make sense to most people. It only has to make sense to you.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about consulting with others and getting others' input and thoughts. But when you move kind of quietly and you keep those things to yourself, one, you can sort of block out the naysayers. Even mm-hmm. though they might be wise counsel for you, you kind of have to know what to keep to yourself and when, and what to consult others about.
Yeah.
Not be so inwardly focused that you don't consult with anybody. I think everyone needs to consult with somebody about major decisions, especially pivots. But at the same time, sometimes instincts, Holy Spirit, karma, good energy, whatever you want to call it, it just is what it is. And sometimes you just got to keep that inside.
Yeah. So earlier you talked about understanding people. And let's talk a little bit more about Jalen Brunson. So what Leon Rose did when he brought Jalen Brunson on was he made a call that, like, he found something that was really undervalued. Like, I remember as a Knicks fan, like, there was Donovan Mitchell, who was also a free agent that summer. Donovan Mitchell also was from New York City or from New York. And I was like, oh, it's a no-brainer. Like, Donovan Mitchell is mm-hmm. a way better player at that mm-hmm. time in my head than Jalen Brunson. But, like, we were able to get Jalen for less money, and we were able to get, you know, a player that was way better. Like, he understood value. And, like, understanding value is, like, looking past what most people see. Right. Like, if you're looking at a stock, like, mm-hmm. you really got to look into who are the leaders of that company, who, you know, what is the strategy of that business? And, like, maybe there's some stuff that you've uncovered in your research that other people just aren't seeing. And that gives you an edge. But the thing that Leon Rose knew is that most people probably didn't pay attention to. Brunson won a championship in high school. He won two national championships in college. And, like, he had a winning resume.
Right? Just so like, a winner. Some people are just winners.
Some people are just winners. And then think about, I'm going to flip it to you now as the listener. Think about you and God. Think about all that you have overcome in your life. Think about all the times that people doubted you. Think about, like, even the stats. Like, people often say, like, you know, I'm scared I might not be able to get this next job, or I'm scared I might not be able to get into this grad school or this college.
If you do.
Like, if you think about the stats, like, you know, especially for Black people, like, the stats would say you should be somewhere way worse than college, right? Like, the stats say for young women, you should be way worse than grad school. Like, we can't, like, go by those stats. We really have to go by the track record of success that God and us have built over time, how we've been undefeated over every adversity that's come our way. And, like, even if nobody else recognizes it, we've got to recognize that.
Listen, I once worked in a role where statistics were everywhere. And the senior most person who was leading our team finally wrote this on a whiteboard for us. Everything that can be measured doesn't matter. And everything that matters can't be measured.
Yeah.
Winning is going to show up in some results in a win-loss record. But sometimes the just being a winner, it doesn't always show up in stats. And I think where we go wrong in society in general is sometimes we associate popularity with value, and they're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah,
there can be some value in popularity, but if we can apply this to investing in stocks too, right? We just came off of the IPO for SpaceX, which is not a profitable company. We're not making recommendations for or against it, but you know, and all the, we talked about this a few episodes ago, right? Like, it's one of the biggest IPOs and all these other things, but that doesn't make it in the long term a good investment. Doesn't mean it's going to be a bad one either, but the biggest IPO isn't necessarily the one that's going to make investors the most money.
Mm-hmm.
It made somebody else a lot of money, but you know, we've got to remember that sometimes there's not the direct correlation between popularity and value.
Yeah. No, I love that.
So,
yeah.
I mean, what other big names are there on the Knicks besides Jalen Brunson and maybe Carl Anthony Towns?
Yeah.
The other guys are they all stars? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but they're special.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, they might have made some all-star games from playing together, but like, they're not household names for sure. Like, everybody knows them now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, agreed. So we're talking today about the Knicks and all the different lessons that we can learn as investors, as business people, and just life lessons in general. Today is not your typical show about stocks and bonds and investing, but we hope you're getting something out of it. We'll go to break. We come back. We'll keep the party going.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Momentum.
Advisor Show.
Advisor Show.
And we are back. So I don't know if you knew this or not, Dre. I found out about this just from watching all these interviews and whatnot. But at the beginning of this season, Mike Brown, the coach of the Knicks, he made everybody in the organization sit down and sign a contract. And this is before the season started. And the contract was a pledge about four things. Number one, a commitment to sacrifice. Number two, that they would maintain a competitive spirit, AKA not give up. Number three, they would stay connected as a team. And number four, that they will believe in each other and believe in the process. So sacrifice, compete, stay connected, and always believe. That's a lesson that like we all can take with us.
It's another quiet leader, right? Mike Brown is not, I mean, people know him because he's been around. He's not a flashy guy, but think about this. I mean, he had vision and a plan. He didn't just come in like, and people doubted that hire too.
Oh, for sure.
But he's been in championship cultures, championship organization as an assistant coach. But yeah, that's pretty special.
He won one with LeBron.
Wait, no, did they win? They went to the finals. I don't think they won. I don't think he was the head coach when they won. That was Ty Lue, wasn't it?
Now you were right. He won four as assistants, right? Three with the Warriors and one with the Spurs in 2003. Mm-hmm. Now you're absolutely right.
I didn't even know he was with the Spurs.
Yeah, 2003.
That's funny. Yeah,
yeah it is, right? So let's go back to that word sacrifice for a minute. So we've been talking a lot about Jalen Brunson. I don't know if people realize Jalen Brunson took a pay cut of over $100 million to keep the team together because his goal wasn't to just maximize his own bank account. His goal was to win a championship for the city of New York, for his family, and for his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Because he took that sacrifice, because he took that pay cut, they were able to assemble a team that could pay OG Anunoby a big contract extension, Mikal Bridges, Karl Anthony Towns, and now that sacrifice, it's paying off, right? Because you don't think that Jalen Brunson, I mean, he doesn't have he's not super charismatic on, in front of a camera, but you don't think he's going to have some endorsement opportunities after this from being a world champion?
He's
now eligible in 2028 for a $400+ million contract extension. You don't think winning a chip helps you to get that bigger extension down the road? So sometimes you got to delay your gratification in order to maximize your results in the long run, right? Because investing is nothing more than delaying gratification. It's like you're taking money that you could be using right now to spend on something to, whether it be a luxury item, whether it be food, whether it be a vacation. This is money you're saying, look, I'd rather take that money and put it away because I'll get a bigger return later. Mm-hmm. And delaying gratification is one of those lessons that I think Jalen Brunson really exemplifies.
Yeah.
Other lesson. Now, this is for business people. Chemistry is greater than talent. I'm going to say it differently. Culture.
Mm-hmm.
Having people that are dedicated, that are bought in.
Yeah.
It's better than talent. I've always been one of these people, if I have a person who's, coachable, dedicated, I'd rather that person than someone who's got, an all-star level talent and all the credentials. And I would take the person that's dedicated, that's a good fit for the culture, that has good chemistry with the team. And this Knicks team is a perfect example of that. They're tight-knit. Three of these guys won championships together in college. They've been playing together for a long time. They look at each other like they're brothers.
Yeah.
Brunson, Hart, and Bridges. And keeping that team together is really what helped this team to win a championship. Other things that we can learn. Keeping your composure in the midst of chaos.
That's right.
How many times, Dre, have you been in a really, really hectic situation?
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to just fold.
Yeah.
It's easy to give up. It's easy to feel afraid.
Yep.
But you got to keep your composure. That's really the true mark of a winner.
Yeah. It's really focusing on, or you've heard this expression before, I'm sure. Keep the main thing, the main thing.
Mm.
What's really your goal, your focus, your objective? In our business, it's all about the client. So if you always keep the client in mind first, the chaos will settle down.
Yeah.
And will flush itself out.
Yeah.
As long as you're doing right by the people who hire you, then everything else will be fine, mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't have a testimony without a test.
Yeah.
There's that song, that gospel song, Trouble in My Way. You got to cry sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that you earn in life that's worth having is going to come with some sacrifice. It's going to come with some tribulations, some ups and some downs. And you got to just keep your mind on that prize and the idea that you might not win every game. Like, the Knicks lost a bunch of games. They did not come in first place in their division. They were down 29 points in game four at home, might I add. Like, you know, you just can't give up. Stay composed, even in the face of chaos, even in the face of a bad set of odds that are going against you.
Just keep playing until the buzzer sounds.
Yeah.
Just keep playing. You know, you have to keep in mind that a slow start is not a death sentence. It's just a slow start. The Knicks didn't post a single winning record from 2001 to 2010.
Lord.
But I'm going to take it. And we can call those years the wilderness years. And we lived through that as sports fans.
Yep.
But those dry spells don't dictate what your breakthrough will look like if you change the trajectory today. But I'll take that a step further and talk about the slow start that they had in the first quarter of every game in the finals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were behind, sometimes double digits, maybe in four or five of the games, they were behind in double digits in the first quarter,
mm-hmm.
let alone the 29-point deficit, you know, in game four. But and they won four out of those five games
mm-hmm.
when they started out slow every single time. So if you start to think that a slow start is in fact a death sentence, then you will die.
Yeah. 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 A lot of times we got it, like you ran track, Dre. Sometimes when you're running a long race, like a 400, like you might be behind.
I'm
you
sorry.
Know what that feels like?
I laugh at the pure sprinters who call the 400 a long race. That's just funny to me.
Okay.
Middle distance people everywhere are like, what?
Yeah, 400.
No,
I used to run the eight. I ran the
eight. They're called middle distance.
Yeah,
for a reason. Long distance is like 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 meters.
Okay, fine. Okay, if you're running a race, like I'm just saying, making a point that there are times when you're going to be behind.
Yeah.
Like I'll tell you, like I can't lie, like just about every birthday, and people always try to cheer me up when I tell them this, but like almost every birthday, I get sad. I'm like, yo, I just expected I would be doing more by now, and I just feel defeated. And then people will say, well, look at all you have done, but it ain't what I wanted to do that year, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like, no matter, every single person that's listening, like I know that there's something that you're disappointed about. I know that there's something in your life that you feel like, you know, it's just not going well. But like every day that God gives you a new day, it's a chance to be better today than you were yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance to try to get it right. Like, it's a chance to, like, improve. Like, we can't cry over the past because that's not going to change the past. We have to take every moment as an opportunity to get better. And, like, those 10 years or 9 years when they didn't have a winning record and that long drought they had of not making the playoffs, like, it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
It was very tough. But when you think about the Knicks right now, you think about a champion and you forget about all of those bad years.
Yeah, it's just the energy in and around the city and for the fans is electric. So whether you're a diehard Knicks fan or a casual sports fan or somewhere in between, you're right. You almost forgot about those dry spells, or maybe you remember and it just makes the victory that much sweeter.
Yeah. And like, but if you want something different out of life, if you want your financial picture to improve, if you want your wealth to increase, like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. Like you got to do something different. You got to pivot. You got to change. You got to be humble enough to admit that your strategy is not working. You have to be open enough to ask for help. And you got to listen. You got to be coachable. And that these are the things that you can do to make your life better starting today, starting tomorrow. So we're running out of time. Let's go through the rest of these kind of quickly. Dre, you go. Let's go point for point. I'll let you pick one. I'll go to the next one.
Are we talking about the life and mindset, or
if you want to hit
financial and business, or we got these different categories?
It's whatever ones you want to hit. Number 28 is really about diversity. Still matters. I know it says diversify ecosystem, but you know, talk about diversity. So let's go point for point. You pick one, I'll pick one. You go first. We'll go quick, rapid fire.
So another life and mindset lesson. Diversify your ecosystem. The Knicks roster is a global melting pot of talent. You've got players from the US, Great Britain, France, Germany, the Dominican Republic. We know Puerto Rico is part of the US, but it's an island. It's not part of the contiguous US. Peak performance requires gathering the best perspectives and skills from everywhere, not just your backyard. Like, you've really got to think about, you know, in the traditional workplace, when we talk about diversity, we're talking about race or gender or sexual orientation, but the diversity of experiences and perspectives can be pretty valuable. And the Knicks prove that.
It's a great one. Diversity still matters, y'all. I know it's not popular these days. I know it's a bad word. It's a curse word, depending on who you ask. But like this team, I mean, you got folks from all over the world. You got folks from all over the Caribbean. You got two folks who are from New Jersey, the great state.
That's
you got
right.
New Yorkers on the team. You got a bunch of guys from all over, and they've come together from all these different countries, from France, from the UK, from the US, to form a championship team. I love that. So next, so World Wide West has, and that's his nickname, y'all. His name is William Wesley. I never heard of him until Drake dropped that bar. And he's like, I learned the game from William Wesley. You can never check me. I don't know if you ever heard that bar or not, Dre, but nope. World Wide West has this saying.
Tell me you're going to take my black card.
It's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I'll take your hip hop card. Your young, your youthful hip hop card. I'll take that one. Black card is intact.
I've got some bars from some songs you would be shocked that I know and could still spit today, mind you, but I digress.
Yeah. So
this is not the day for it.
World Wide West's phrase, his financial mantra, is the slow dime over the quick nickel. And we talked about that with Jalen Brunson taking a pay cut in order to win a championship. He'll cash in way bigger after the fact. But it's also about the compound interest or the return on investment that comes from relationships. Which really comes from focusing on building long-term trust as opposed to short-term transactions. Like, think about all the people in your life who ruin their whole reputation with you for doing something short-sighted. World Wide West is a relationship builder. He focused on long-term relationships, and he got a great return on investment from that. It's very easy to be a salesperson, to try to get a short-term return, you know, getting some money to do something that might benefit them today but hurt them tomorrow. But again, thinking long term. At Goldman Sachs, they had a term called long term greedy. You know, being long term greedy helps you to make better decisions.
And we've heard it said before, but let's also keep in mind, access and network are really the ultimate currencies. You've heard the expression, "Show me your network, I'll show you your net worth." You know, long before he ever had business, you know, an executive experience with the Knicks, William Wesley was one of the most powerful brokers in sports simply because of who trusted him. And once you build up that foundational trust and you show your network exactly who you are and how you move, that currency is so valuable. And it can really show how effectively you can bridge the gap between different power players. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we underestimate that, but some of the most influential people that I know are connectors. They just are. Yeah. They connect people because they want to and because they can.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. Absolutely love that. Like, people who build relationships by connecting people with other people, like you do better in life. You do better financially. I agree with that. I know you said we're ending, but I got one last one. It's just about gratitude.
Yes.
It's just about gratitude. When the Knicks won the NBA Cup earlier this year, each of the players got a $500,000 bonus. Some of the leaders on the team, including Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and some other teammates, they decided to share the money with their support staff, not just with the players, not just with the guys who wear the jerseys, but they made sure that folks who were massage therapists, people who were ball boys, people who worked in public relations, like people who typically don't get bonuses, but people who were very valuable to the success of the team. He took the time and took the money. They took the money and said, we want to say thank you. So the final thing I'll say is like, yo, we got to be grateful. We got to thank our God. We got to thank the people next to us. We got to thank the people that don't get any thanks. I always try to make sure I speak to the guy that changes the trash in our office, to the folks that are cleaning the bathrooms. Like, we got to remember that if it weren't for everybody doing their job in your life, the success that you have today and tomorrow would not be possible.
Absolutely. I saw on one small snippet of the parade that I got to see, they commented that Mike Brown came down off the float to shake hands with the sanitation workers. Who were preparing and navigating the parade.
Mm-hmm. I love
that. So that bleeds through the entire organization.
And that's leadership. That's absolutely leadership. Well, thank you so much for indulging us in a tribute to my favorite basketball team. I promise you when we're back, we'll get some more hardcore finance.
Never worn economics. So much orange in my life as I did this past week.
And listen, they're Morgan State colors as well, so we're not mad at that.
I'm aware.
Well, listen, keep listening. We'll be back very soon. I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. Show.